are listening to Tassie Encounters on Faith FM, and we're coming to you from Tasmania, right across Australia. Each weekday at 9 a.m, you can hear what the Bible says about past, current and future events. You can learn how to study the Bible more effectively. You can get to know who God is, why we're here and where we're going. And you can experience personal encounters with Jesus. I'm your host, Jason Cook, and this week we've had David Leo presenting a program on the sanctuary memory pattern. But today we've got Janelle Voss joining us. Welcome, Janelle.
Good morning, Jason. It's good to be here again.
Good to have you back in the studio this morning. So really good. We've had you once on our Tassie Encounters Moments program before, but yes. Also once before that on a longer program. So
that's right.
Great to have you here today. So I just want to remind our listeners, we do have a show number. It's 0488 880891, and that is our number to claim our free book offer, which is coming up later in the program. But also you can text in questions or comments, and we will review those during the week as well. So Janelle, we've been talking about the sanctuary, and David's been talking about the memory pattern, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on what does the sanctuary sort of mean to you?
Yes, I've been listening to what you and David have been talking about and thinking about this idea of sanctuary. I'm going to go in a slightly different direction with it today. But if we were talking about sanctuary in a non-Bible sense, so just the general everyday sense of the word, what do you think of when I say sanctuary?
I think of wildlife sanctuaries, you know, like the bird sanctuaries up in Coolangatta. We have that one called Currumbin Wildlife Sanctuary. That's what I think of, which is a beautiful place where animals, I guess, can be safe.
Yeah, okay, nice. So the idea of safety, and actually you're quite on track with the dictionary definition, which is that sanctuary is a place of safety or refuge away from danger or difficulty. When I think of sanctuary, I think of something a little bit different, not so much the danger aspect, but a place where I can get away from it all. So when life has gotten a bit overwhelming and a bit hectic, as it does, I sometimes long for a place where I can just enjoy some calm, some peace and quiet for a little while.
Have some nice time out.
Exactly, time out. So that's kind of my idea of sanctuary. But if I'm thinking about it in the Bible sense of the word, for me, sanctuary is the place where God's presence dwells. So if we think about the Old Testament, for example, and you and David have been talking about this this week, the sanctuary, whether it was the tabernacle tent or the temple, it had a special place called the Most Holy Place where God's presence quite literally dwelt in a cloud of glory called the Shekinah. But it was always hidden behind a curtain. And that was for our own safety because we are sinful human beings and sin and God just don't mix. So when the people were coming to the festivals and the feasts at the sanctuary, at the temple, they were looking forward to getting some closeness to God and having their relationship with God restored. But they probably didn't have that one-on-one personal kind of experience of his presence because only the priest, the high priest, could go into the holy place, the most holy place. If we fast forward to the New Testament, God's presence takes a different form in the person of Jesus. But again, that is God literally dwelling with us. The irony is that Jesus actually then also attended the sanctuary services, all of the different feasts and things, both as a child and an adult. And on one occasion, he was attending the Feast of Tabernacles. And this was the last feast of the year, and it came straight after the Day of Atonement, where people had restored a right relationship with God. So it was a very joyful time. And it was designed to remember the way that God had taken care of his people in their past history. So a really happy, positive feast. And on the last day of the feast, there was this special water ceremony where the priests would pour water out into a special bowl near the altar. And this was to remember the way that God had provided his people with water when they were wandering through the wilderness so many generations ago.
I went and looked this up earlier today because I'd never heard of this water ceremony before, and it's not actually described a lot in scripture because it actually came in after the scriptures, the Old Testament, was written. So,
yeah, okay.
But it was interesting that Jesus was actually here participating in this as well.
Yeah, yeah. So that's a nice little bit of research there. Thank you. Yeah, so Jesus was there, and this last ceremony of the last day of the last feast of the year had just happened. And you can imagine trumpets blowing and the people joyfully celebrating. And then Jesus stands up and makes a scene, really, because he calls out in a loud voice and draws all the attention to himself as he makes an invitation. And I wonder, could you read that invitation for us, Jason? It's found in John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39.
Yes, and today we'll read from the New Living Translation. Yeah, Jesus said, "Anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare, rivers of living water will flow from his heart." When he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone believing in him. But the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet entered into his glory.
Okay, so Jesus is making this invitation, and he's essentially saying, if there is a part of you that is not being satisfied by life, not being satisfied by these religious feasts and festivals, if there is something in you that is longing for something more, come to me to have that filled. Come to me and connect with me and spend some time with me and believe in me, and I can fill that place.
It takes me back to the woman at the well, that first discussion
exactly.
that Jesus had with her to say, if you come to me, then you will never be thirsty again.
Exactly. And John explains that it was to happen through the Holy Spirit. So if we think about going back to that Old Testament where people weren't able to have a personal experience of God's presence, Jesus made it possible by dying on the cross and dealing with the sin problem, which was the reason we were being separated from God's presence. Because he dealt with that, he made it possible for us to then enter God's presence freely. And as a symbol of that, when he died on the cross, the curtain that used to separate us from God's presence was actually torn into from top to bottom. But that invitation that Jesus made is for us today too. So we also need to recognize our thirst. Is there a place in us that is just not being satisfied by the things of this world? And often we find this world either underwhelming, so not as good as we were hoping, or more and more, I think we find it overwhelming, like just a bit too much for us to handle. And when that happens, we can think about accepting Jesus' invitation. And through accepting Jesus' perfect life in place of our own sinful one, we can now freely enter God's presence. And that happens through the Holy Spirit, which is our connection with him, and it is God's presence with us. And we can have the true sanctuary experience of refuge and calm in God's presence.
So I'm wondering here, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. There's two questions I've got. One is also, how do we get the Holy Spirit? That's one thing. And I guess the other question of you specifically, have you experienced that personally?
Yes, so I have. So to answer your first question, the Bible's very clear. We only have to ask for the Holy Spirit. So that's actually really simple. In terms of my experience of that, when I was about 18, I was searching for God. I knew about God. I believed that God existed and that he was good, but I just felt there had to be something more. So I was searching for him. And I went to a camp where a group of young people were sitting around and having a Bible discussion with a pastor who was teaching us how to access God's presence in the Bible. And I had a moment, I wouldn't call it a light bulb moment, but I just felt flooded with God's presence in that moment. It was the first time I'd experienced that, and I just knew that that's who I had been looking for. And as soon as that happened, without any doubts or questions or thinking about it, I just knew I wanted to commit my life to him, because having experienced his presence, I never wanted to let that go again. And I think that it does happen through the Holy Spirit, through God's word, that we can experience God's presence. There's a promise in the Bible that describes this experience that I had quite nicely. Can you read that for us?
Yeah, this is found in Jeremiah 29, verse 13 and 14. It's a very common one for those who have been reading the Bible and been around Christians for a while. It says, "If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. I will gather you out of the nations where I sent you and will bring you home again to your own land."
Yeah, so the first part of that, if you look for me, you will find me, I will be found for you, was very much what had happened for me. So I want to leave you with a challenge today, Jason. You know I always like to leave you with a challenge if
I
can.
That's a good idea, yeah.
So my challenge today, if you feel that life is perhaps getting overwhelming, not satisfying, that there's a part of you that is longing for something that you just haven't found yet, I'd like you to consider responding to Jesus' invitation by creating a sanctuary time for you and God. So essentially, set aside some time that you can commit to regularly and set aside a place where you feel safe and happy and positive, and make that your sanctuary time and space to spend with Jesus. And then what you do in that time, first of all, is to try and let go of all these things that are flooding our minds. So letting those go to the back of our mind or giving them to Jesus is even better. Getting rid of all distractions and then spending some time with him. So first of all, ask him to show himself to you and to speak to you through his word. Then search for him in the Bible. As you're reading, ask, what does this show me about God? And take some time to listen to what he's saying to you and the impressions you are getting as you read slowly and think about what you're reading. And then spend some time praying to him, giving to him all the things, all the worries and cares. And if I could leave you with a piece of advice, it would be to persist, because as soon as you start doing this, things will try and distract you and interrupt you. But do persist with this sanctuary time with you in Jesus, because the crazier life gets, the more we need sanctuary with Jesus.
Absolutely. Thank you, Janelle. We will have you back again, but right now we've got a couple of things to finish off our program today.
This program is made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.
Our book offer this week has been Memorable Encounters, and it's by Roberto Bedenas. There is a first encounter, and the last one will come, but both we have, but between both we have many more. Some of them change the course of life, but there's just one that can make it attractive and everlasting. Now you can delight in learning through encounters of men and women who had that decisive encounter. You can experience the same today. And I think some of the advice that Janelle's given will help you along that path as well, and maybe this book. So do text in. This is TEM for Tassie Encounters Moments 04. That's the numbers 04. TEM 04. Text that into 04-88-880-891 to claim a copy of that book today. As we go out, we've got Living Water by Josh Cunningham, and we just pray that you encounter Jesus more today and each day.
I was thirsting for that living water, drinking from a well that don't satisfy. When I met a man, his words were like no other. He said, draw from a well that'll never run dry. Told me everything I'd done. He said, come and drink the living water. Come and take from streams of life. You will thirst no more. And you will thirst no more. I was hungry for heaven's manna, and eating the meat that perishes and dies. And I met a man, he walked upon the water. He said, come partake of the bread of life. The bread that cometh down from heaven. He said, come and drink the living water. Come and take the bread of life. And you will thirst no more. You will want no more. There's water that's pure. There's a bread that's true. There's a light that shines, and he's calling you. I was without form and void and darkness. All around me was trouble and strife. And I met a man, he led me from my blindness. He said, I am the light of life. The light that lights up everyone. Oh, come and drink the living water. Come and take the bread of life. You will thirst no more. Walk in dark no more. In the dark, couldn't find my way, looking for the light of day. All around me, trouble and strife, eating the bread that don't lead to life. Clouds with no rain were filling my sky. I was drinking from the water that don't satisfy. I met a man who led me from blindness, spoke to me in words of kindness, gave me to eat of heaven's bread. Come follow me, is what he said. Called us to be sons and daughters. He said, I am living water. You will thirst no more. And you will thirst no more.
This program has been made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.